Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We look forward to your questions and comments. And right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your comments, your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of Christians today and conservatives that are in a dilemma when it comes to our borders, who should come into our borders in America, and whether or not there should be any deportations. There's a major question today about the revoking of visas President Trump is in the process of doing. There's a lot of questions about should America have secure borders. There's some good people on both sides of the aisle, if I can be bold enough and liberal enough to say that, that have questions that I believe are legitimate questions, and yet I believe from a central biblicist worldview, we need to seek an answer. I believe, as I've said so many times in less than 100 years, that we need to look at everything, local, state, national, international, global, through the prism of the Word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement, ladies and gentlemen, dealing with the Word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Now, the Bible, that statement did not say the Word of God contains truth, though it does. Thy Word is, it is the centrality of truth. It is the bastion of truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is the truth book. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty lengthy period of time. Yet we live in a society, let's face it, there are a lot of people that reject and will remonstrate against anything that's called truth. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in a dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be factual today. There's some, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the immigration system, there's some that simply want a sieve rather than borders. They want it to be so that just anybody can come in. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the end result of what's happened as a result of the Sleepy Joe Autopen Biden's open borders. What has happened in America morally, ethically, and biblically as a result of it. Then the question is asked and begs to be answered. Doesn't the Bible say that we should, as believers, Old Testament, as God-fearers, honor and respect the foreigners as they come into our land? Answer to that question is yes. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, even the Pope and the Holy See, they have a wall with armed security guards to make sure that no one enters without permission. Now, I could go further with all other nations on the face of the globe. You can't just cross the border and go in. You do, they lock you up, throw the key away. or in some cases, they lock you up, have a fake trial, and then put you to death. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious issue, and I believe it's been avoided by the Christian church, the Christian community, long enough. I believe there's been enough debate and enough contention and enough argument about it that we need to come to grips with what should be done, how should we view it. And we're going to talk about that today's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a profound statement about truth. Jim DeMint said, in part, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." Hear me. There's a lot of debate about truth, the truth of God's Word. You've got one renegade, loose-lax, lost, liberal Taliaferro that's running for Senate seat in Texas. He says God is multigendered. He says that the Bible does not condemn the LGBTQ and the sodomite community. He says that the Bible is something that can be, if you please, I'm using the term now, could be molded to fit modern culture. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is the truth book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. But yet we find today multitudes of the socialist, Marxist, communist, younger generation, and the Islamic parade, and we'll talk about that further in the broadcast, they're coming in with a mindset that somehow, some way, there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, when you look at the Quran, that gives the Islamics the authorization to deceive and to lie if it will be, can be used to convince you to believe what an Islamic tells you. Very bluntly put, you have to sift through everything a Muslim will say, because if he believes the Quran, he believes that he has the authority from Allah to lie to you. And we're seeing that today in some of the candidates that are running for national or local offices, state after state after state. It's very deceptive, saying something different each time they're interviewed. Ladies and gentlemen, most younger Americans, this headline says, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the article begins with these words. Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, real actualities, the fact of being in the case, the facts. And yet 55% of that age group, the millennials, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their precise statement is that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say so many times, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. And by the way, I don't agree with a large portion of what Jan Hus believed theologically and doctrinally. Some of the things that he believed about Christology, about theology proper, ecclesiology, etc. He and I would have some difference of opinions. But nevertheless, it was Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge on this broadcast each and every day. We need to seek the truth as Christians. We need to embrace the truth, stand for the truth, defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Very simply put, find the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road, and on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in, may I be bold enough to say, I believe we in America, we live in the greatest nation on the face of God's green earth. I believe of all the world, in fact, recently I've had some say, well, you know, if Islam takes over in America, we need to find another place to live. If the communists take over in America, we need to find another nation to live in. My question is very simply this. Where would you find another nation that is equal to or supersedes the morals, ethics, the values, the culture that we have in America? Now, that's not to say we're perfect. That's not to say that there's not room for improvement. That's not to say that we're not plummeting somehow, some way into the moral cesspool, because we are. But ladies and gentlemen, it is very clear in the scripture that in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 34, the Bible says this, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Then in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a time for mourning. There's a time for rejoicing. There's a time for introspection. There's a time for analysis and a review of where we are, especially in America, especially at an election season. We need to recognize what needs to be fixed, if you want to use that term, what needs to be fixed in our nation. And who is best qualified to fix those problems and those issues. Today we have a serious, major, mega problem with, I'm going to guesstimate, this, don't pin my ears to the wall, I'm going to guesstimate we probably have somewhere between 35 and 50 million illegals still in America. Somewhere between 20 and 30 million came in during the open borders with the Sleepy Joe auto pen Biden and his administration, where Mayorkas, the head of DHS, kept saying, the borders are secure. And what the news was saying, don't pay attention to the thousands crossing into America every day. Because, after all, the leadership from the Oval Office down says the borders are secure. So that's what we're supposed to believe, should have believed, supposedly, during those days. When President Trump came in, he put into, reinforced what he had put into effect when he was elected in 2016. And that was building the wall. And I've not heard an update on the wall building, but understand the wall building is progressing at a rapid pace across the southern border to protect America from invaders. We have today, as it is reported, one of the most sealed, protected southern borders in the history of the United States of America. But the question is, what about the revoking of visas? Should America have sealed borders? Should we have protected borders? Ladies and gentlemen, our Constitution affords us the protection from the enemies, foreign and domestic. Our president has the responsibility to enforce that and carry it out according to the Constitution. But I believe we have one of the greatest nations on the face of the globe. There's not another nation that has what we have in America today. We are admonished, by the way, in the Scripture. And I touched on this in a pre-monologue statement. We're admonished in the Scripture to recognize and respect the strangers that come into our borders. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just inform you, if you're not aware of it, that in Nehemiah, the second chapter, verse 7 and following, Nehemiah, as you know, is the one that had submitted to the sense that God wanted to use him to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. It had lain in debris and ruins with the gates burned, the scripture says, and the walls in debris for somewhere between 100 and 150 years. And Nehemiah, along with 49,942 people, in 52 days rebuilt that wall. But in order to do so, he went to the king. And the king wanted to know, why are you so unhappy? He had a sad face, apparently. And in chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed in verse 4. He said, the king says, put it in the Youngblood vernacular, why do you have a mule face? Why are your chin dragging the ground? And Nehemiah simply said, and I prayed to the God of heaven in verse 4. And then he went on to tell the king about what God had impressed him to do of leaving and going to Jerusalem and rebuilding the wall. And he set time for the king to do something in helping. And here's what it says in verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters, listen to me, letters, we'd call them having passports, let letters or passports be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over, that is crossing the borders, till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palaces and pertaining to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And it goes on, and it says, then I came to the governors beyond the river, that is crossing the borders, and gave them the king's letters, the king's passports, if you please, gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And it goes on to talk about Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonites that were trying to, by the way, all of the three major names given that were approaching and trying to destroy what Nehemiah was doing came out of the Arabic background. We'd call them the Islamic jihadists today. But the point that I wanted to make, that even in Nehemiah's day, going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, he recognized the need to have passports, credentials, authorization, visas, if you will, to cross the borders and going back into Jerusalem to carry out the task. But yet somehow, some way today, there's the mindset that we ought not to have anything that would stop or pause or prevent the borders from being sealed and closed. I don't know about you, but I'm a little weary with hearing those saying, well, you know, the Bible says, Christians, we need to love the strangers. We need to open arms, embrace them. Listen, it doesn't mean that we don't love the people, but we have a nation of laws. If that you get to the intersection, that red sign with white letters on it says STOP. It doesn't mean slide tires on pavement. It means stop. If you break the law, you'll pay the fine. There's the fact that we're a nation of laws. Now, some of the laws I disagree with. I understand that. Some of the laws are interfering with our Second Amendment right, Fourth Amendment right, First Amendment right, et cetera, et cetera. We need to look at those carefully and analyze them in view of what we have constitutionally, not Bill of Rights. But, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to impress upon us today, we need to ask the question, what about revoking visas? President Trump is right now in the crosshairs of the socialist Marxist communist on the left. He's in the crosshairs of the Islamic jihadists that's wanting to come in and overthrow the American Constitution and take control of America. So what should the president do? How should he respond? I believe it deserves the responsibility of Christians to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. First of all, is prayer. But we need to uphold our president and the task that he's trying to carry out. Across America, just as most all other nations, ladies and gentlemen, we have borders, and they're designed to protect our sovereignty. And may I say to you today, back in the Reagan administration, some of you lived through that and realize what I'm saying. There were about 4 million illegals in America. And the Democrats, who was in control of the House and the Senate at the time, the Democrats convinced Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, that if he would just simply give asylum to the 4 million that were here illegally, that they, the Democrats, would fix the immigration laws and it wouldn't happen anymore. Well, you know the rest of the story. That didn't happen. That didn't take place. They didn't fix it. And then when Obama was in office, hundreds of thousands were quietly deported. You didn't hear any Democrat, socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat, you didn't hear any one of them screeching and having fits and getting injunctions to stop it. You didn't see any of the socialist, Marxist, communist judges, the little class, little office with a little, a small region that he's covering, with a black robe on, trying to stop the Oval Office and what the president has the authority to do under the Constitution. You didn't find that during the Obama days. You didn't find that during the Biden days. But because it's President Donald J. Trump, it's a Trump derangement syndrome that is so bad. Today, ladies and gentlemen, there are literally hundreds of suits. In fact, Colorado tops the list, where they had the sodomite governor brags about the fact that the state of Colorado had filed more suits against President Trump than any other state in America. But ladies and gentlemen, getting back to the point at hand, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Sound off. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the sealed borders? Should we have deportation of hundreds of thousands of people? We're going to talk about the different categories that's being deported. We're going to talk about some of the visas that's being allowed today and what it's doing to the workforce in America and why we should be very, very careful with giving blanket authority and authorization for some visas to be bought, $100,000 apiece, to displace qualified American professionals and American workers. Yes, that's taking place also, and we need to address it. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to understand today, under the administration presently, under the Donald J. Trump's administration today, there is an approach to do something to remove 25 or 30 million that's here illegally, the invaders that entered into America. Multitudes came. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some that say they came wanting asylum because it was dangerous in their country. Well, there's a lot of Americans could say it's dangerous in America. I want to go to China. China would lock you up, throw the key away. In fact, right now in China, they're taking what's called the Uyghurs, which are the Islamic invaders. They're putting them in concentration camps. They're saying that they're the worst kind of people, and they're even China says that the Islamic jihadists are dangerous to the government system in China. And yet somehow, some way, we're supposed to embrace them as they come into America. Ladies and gentlemen, I just made a brief statement in my thoughts in relationship to this subject today. Multitudes came into America to take over, to take control of America, to wipe out our Constitution and our religious liberties, to wipe out the right to keep and bear arms, to destroy the Fourth Amendment so that search and seizure could take place at the will of the government, whoever it may be at the time. But multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, came into America to pillage, to rape, to rob, to steal, commit fraud. And listen, fraud has taken place in America by the illegal invaders, by the hundreds of billions of dollars. Every day, under the leadership of Vice President J.D. Vance, searching out fraud in America, they're coming up with additional individuals, organizations, groups that siphoning hundreds of billions of dollars out of the American taxpayers' pockets, much of it going back into those native home countries, nations, to fund everything that we stand against in America. And yet, we have the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats on the left that are saying that it's wrong. We ought not to do that. We ought not to persecute these people. After all, they've come to America to seek asylum. They've come to America for a better life. They've come to America so that they might thrive. They've come to America so that they might make a living. Ladies and gentlemen, they've discovered, the investigative arm through J.D. Vance, vice president, and I believe that number, I'm not looking at the document at this moment, I believe that number is something like 80 to 85% of those illegal immigrants that are in America, illegal invaders that have crossed our borders, they are on some type of welfare system siphoning funds for them to live and survive. Although many of them at the same time operating fraudulent major mega million dollar operations, like we discovered just several months back, the luring centers, not learning, but luring centers that had no kids at all, but bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like the Medicare system, where they just discovered one operation in Minnesota, where it was set up to be home care for the elderly that they did not have, and the building that it was housed in. They were bilking the federal government for thousands and thousands and thousands of so-called patients, and they didn't have a patient at all. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, that goes back to the question, What about revoking visas? What about ICE agents picking people up that are here illegally? What about those that have raped, robbed, and murdered U.S. citizens? What about those that are here simply to milk the governmental handout goodwill programs that's coming out of the pockets of the taxpayers? I'm looking at a headline that says, insane rate of migrant households on welfare. Trump hits pause button for U.S. visas interviews worldwide. Let me just read you two brief paragraphs from this massive article. Training being delivered for officers to determine whether applicants likely to depend on public benefits. President Trump has hit the pause button for visa interviews for access to the United States worldwide. Trump was drawing a line in the sand because of the insane rate of migrant households that are on welfare today. According to Fox News, the Trump administration has directed U.S. embassies and consulates around the world to postpone immigrants' visa interviews while consulate officers complete training on new public charge guidance, temporarily stalling all applications that have reached the interview stage. Consular officers are to be trained on how better to determine whether the visa applicant allowed in the United States is likely to end up being a consumer of all public benefits at the taxpayer's expense. According to the USA Today report, said that all parts of the ongoing immigration crackdown by the U.S. government, quote, President Trump has pursued an aggressive deportation drive, immigration crackdown, that includes revocation of visas, green cards, rejection of applicants and applications over a range of reasons like political opinions, pro-Palestinian protest against the U.S., and Israeli assault on Gaza, according to the USA Today report. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, how should we stand? What should we do as Christians? How should conservatives view this morass of alternating questions, comments, and decisions? And especially when we see so many of the judges, many of them, if not most, appointed by Obama and Biden, some appointed by George Bush, just a couple of them have been appointed by President Trump, that's making unwise decisions about America. I'm concerned from a Christian standpoint. I'm concerned from the standpoint of how churches and pastors and Christians and conservatives ought to respond to what we see happening. I believe it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots hold the president's hands up as he does what is beneficial for the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump is set to revoke hundreds of thousands of visas. And the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats and a few rhino Republicans are upset. He's talking about now revoking about 300,000 visas that were here on temporary protective status, TPS, temporary protective status. Let me read you a brief portion, and then we'll take our news break in a moment. Sending people literally back to hell, this writer says. Temporarily protected status is over. It's time to leave. It's closing. Introductory statement says it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You know, that comes from the old restaurant joke. The person's been there eating off the open bar for hours and hours, and the waitress said, you go home now. You've been here 4 hours. You go home now. This is a takeoff from that. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Springfield, Ohio, and its Haitian population have been in the news all year as the fate of individuals granted temporary protection status hung in the balance. The ruling last month from the U.S. Supreme Court allowed President Trump administration to end the protective status and send them home. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine offered his response to the policy shifting during an interview at CBS News. Haiti is a bad place. You should not be sending them back to that bad place, he told the Governor News and news outlet Immigration Correspondent. The governor pointed out that the government has said no to travel to Haiti, not to fly there, not to go there, because it's gangs and shootings and so forth. And now the government wants to send the Haitians back? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with